would like to welcome you to our show today at Take Time for Jesus. After today's message, we will have information on how you can contact the show or access past shows here at Take Time for Jesus. And now with today's message, here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord. It's time to take time for Jesus. Friend, we're going to try to go into the seven churches of Asia Minor that spoke about when John was writing in the book of Revelations. The first one was at Ephesus. Now, that was not the name of the church. It was the church that was in Ephesus, like all the rest of them. We got a lot of denominational names and everything, but the only true church that God speaks about is the church that he purchased with his own blood. And them, you are born into it. You got to repent of all of your sins and iniquities before God with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, calling upon the name of the Lord, asking him to forgive you. That's the way you become a candidate or a member of the church of the living God, which he purchased with his own blood. Because he bought you and I there at Calvary. He paid for our sins, a debt that we deeply owed to and could not pay. But he paid us debt that he didn't owe, because we couldn't pay it. He paid it for us. So it's required of us now to repent, asking him to forgive us of our sin. There's no other name given among man whereby that we must be saved but at the name of Jesus. God manifested in the flesh, came into this world to die for a sinner such as you and I, even died before we was. But my friend, there's a lot of denominations and a lot of teachings and going on out there has brought the church from the time of the first church of Ephesus. They fell into idolatry and foolish things of doctrines and things like that, and the worshiping of idols and things. And it come on down, the declined on down to where we at today in the Laodicea. But it had nothing to do with the Philadelphia church, because it held true, but God warned them to stay faithful. My friend, it's come to the time we need to be faithful, because the time of the end is upon us and nigh unto us. But I want you to understand, this is something we're going to try to bring forth that you hear very little about, the seven churches of Asia Minor. And to start with, we're going to go to the first church, which God said he commended them on some things. He said, but I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. They didn't lose it. They just walked off and left it, you might say. Went back into idolatry and all the things that which he despised, even to the Nicolaitan doctrine, which was a type of people claimed to be Christians, but they used that for a front to do what they wanted to do in the flesh and all. That's what it sounds to me like. But it's a foolish doctrine, and God said he hated it, and they hated it to start with. But evidently, down through the years and the centuries, people have got accustomed to doing what they wanted to do and worshiping like they want to worship, instead of true holding on to the apostolic doctrine and teaching, which the Lord taught the apostles, and the apostle teachings and doctrine is the only true gospel that we can find today to go by. Anything else, it's iffy. My friend, pray and seek God. Read your Bible. Find out what it is and let God teach you what you need to know from the Word of God, and pray and seek him for that. And he'll lead you and guide you, but you got to repent. But anyway, my wife's got something other here I wanted to read for you, and it's containing these things about the churches of Asia Minor. Here's my wife.
Well, Sister praise Sarah. The Lord. I want to thank those that have taken time out to respond to our broadcast. I know we probably don't bring the message that a lot of them do, but we pray about it and thought we had one thing, and then the Lord laid on our heart to go to the seven churches, because there's a lot of us where we are today. But the first church is Ephesus. The church of Ephesus is typical of the apostolic church of the first century. The name Ephesus means the desirable one. The church had an apostolic experience, and there was much for which the Lord commended it. The Ephesian church was faithful and steadfast. It was a separated church which did not tolerate evil. Ephesus remained true to the name of Jesus and hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. The Church of Ephesus had been born in revival with a fervent love for Christ. With zeal, the gospel was preached by this church throughout the known world. In spite of its strong qualities, Jesus condemned the Ephesian church because it had left its first love. Ephesus took the first step in turning from God, which, if not corrected, will terminate with apostasy, such as that of the Laodicean church, or where we are now. The Laodicean, the apostate church. It is significant that the seventh church, typical of many churches in time, is the Laodicean church. This was a church of apostasy. This lukewarm church had the characteristics of the church described by Apostle Paul in his letter to Timothy, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That's 2 Timothy 3 and 5. Apostasy is more serious than being overcome with sin and worldliness. The backslider generally recognizes his backslidden state. An apostate, however, is a person who has been deceived. When it is evident that the lukewarm, formal church characterized by Laodicea has taken over much of the church world, we can be certain that it is the end time, the last days before the coming of the Lord. In the other five churches of Asia, there were some commemorable characteristics. However, each of them was lacking in one way or another. Apart from Philadelphia, the best record was left by the Church of Smyrna. Not a word of condemnation was given by our Lord against this church, though it was a church prophesied to experience tremendous persecution. They were promised a crown if they would remain faithful. Another notable church through for negative reasons was Pergamus, which means married to the world. The Pergamus church characterized churches which submit to the pressures of a sinful world and conform to it. They become worldly and lose their power with God. Much of Christians experience this same flaw of Pergamus through the centuries following the time of the early church. There was finally a major return to the apostolic experience at the outpouring of the Holy Ghost early in the 20th century. Philadelphia was a revival church. Philadelphia symbolizes a true church through the ages, the church which has kept God's word and has not denied the name of Jesus. The most encouraging truth taught is that one need not be overcome with the spirit of Laodicea. In the midst of an apostate, lukewarm church world, the apostolic church can be vibrant, strong, and quickened with the Holy Ghost revival. And we need revival. I don't know where you'll ever find one, but if you do, let us know. We'll try to get there if it's not too far to go, but we do need revival. Revival, I think, stopped back probably in the 80s. We used to go a lot. We had revivals at our local church, but it seems like the world has come in and they don't even know what a revival is. Praise God, I love the Lord. And the Bible says that don't be those that are ashamed of him. He said, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. And I am not ashamed of Jesus. It is the power that we have. And here's Brother Earl. May the Lord bless you and write to us.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Friends, we have experienced in some of this part that with the falling away that Jesus spoke of to the apostles there before he descended. When they was asking him about what would be the signs of his return, and he said there'd be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places and these things, but he said that also that there would be a falling away first and the man of sin be revealed before his return the second time. Now that has nothing to do with him coming for his bride, and he's not going to put his foot on the earth at that time, but he'll take his bride home and he'll never put his foot on the earth, but they'll go to meet him in the air. But when he comes back the second time from sin unto salvation, his bride comes with him, and he puts his foot on Mount Olive, and it cleaves away and makes a great valley. But my friend, we haven't got to that time just yet, but it's near in the future. I don't say when it'll be because I don't really know, but I can't say that it's going to be 100 years from now because I don't believe it's going to be that far. But nevertheless, the church that John first wrote to, that God gave him the revelation of the seven churches of Asia Minor, all of these churches was connected together by the Roman road. All of them had their own perks and their own dislikes and their own little thing. And the church that was at the Ephesus was recognized first. And he said, told John, he said, write unto the church, the angel of the church at Ephesus, write these things, said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand and who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how that thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say that they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars, and has bore and has patience, and for my name's sake, but has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. I heard a preacher preaching one time about, and he included his wife being his first love. Well, it's altogether different from the first love because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He manifested in the flesh, came to die for our sin. That was our first love. And outside of that, you love your wife, you love your children, all them things, but God is to come first, my friend. But they left their first love. They went into apostate. They went into worshiping idols, and Diana was there, the statue or thing made to her there to where they would go worship her. And these things is against God, for he said, have no other gods before you. But some of the people today, they don't may not realize it, and they don't consider it to be a god, but they pet these people on the back with these people that comes up and climbs high in the ranks of sports and everything like that there. And even to some of them, preachers they get to be, and they think that they're smarter than anybody else and everything, and they get bearing a name, and everybody flocks to them. I've heard them say, Brother so-and-so don't preach, I'm not going, because I don't believe that no other preacher can preach and like him, and probably so. But there's many preachers today that will preach the word of God, but there's many of them that's got a similar, but and they have a form of godliness, but the Bible says they deny the power thereof. My friend, you cannot escape the power of God, because without the anointing of God, we're going to be lost. Without that, a man can stand there and run his mouth all he wants to, but if it's got the anointing to it, that it's not going to do you much good. You're fed on the bread of life, which is the word of God. God became there. He said, I am the bread of life. Even with the breaking of the bread there at a communion, he said that it was his body and the blood was and the wine was the blood of the New Testament. So, my friend, it's down the line, biblically speaking, about the things that we look naturally, but it's a spiritual discernment to it. But the problem with the world today, the churches, they've left out God out of some of them, and they got their own form and fashion, and they go with what they want instead of asking God what he wants. We need to pray and seek God faithfully, baptized in his name and knowingly there what needs to be done, and we need a revival. I was at a place here not too long ago. I won't call no names or nothing, but the Lord led me to speak to him there just one word or two. I asked the former pastor about it, and he said, well, his other man was the pastor or whatever, and he said, went to him and told him I had a word to say, and I told him, I said, we're living in the last days. The Laodicean church, I said, we need revival. And they turned around just like there was nothing ever being said. My friend, we're going to have to give an answer for everything of our actions we've done against anyone that tries to bring forth the gospel and bring it to light. But that's something between them and God. And I just want you to know that we do appreciate those that have wrote to us, and we do take you into consideration, and we pray for the request for prayers, and even whether you mentioned about prayer or not, we still pray for those and thank God for each and every one of them but that writes to us. We appreciate it and definitely do. Like I've said to start with, I don't beg you for your money for the simple fact I can't give you a tax number that you can write it off on your tax. I never feel like that was a proper thing to do. If you give something to God, you don't expect the government to give it back to you, because they give you that right. But true enough, when you give it to God, you give it unto the love and for the work of God. And I don't, that's me. But everybody has his own thing. But that's me. I give from the top of my earnings, not from what I get after taxes, but what I earn. So, my friend, it's come to the time that we're in that the world is making merchandise of you. And most all these preachers, they can't get up there and say anything. I know TV time comes and it's expensive, but they've done that to make money. And they've called and they asked for money to pay for the television time. But my friend, we got this time, we pay for it, true enough, and God has provided. But I'm not going to beg somebody out of something other that they need to put into something other else. I've heard preachers preach and they, what they was talking, and mostly of them, they just wanted money. But the churches today are falling short. As the Bible says that we have all come short of the glory of God. And the churches is deteriorating on down from Ephesus on down to the Laodicean, which is the last church in Asia Minor that John wrote to. But down through there, years there was a couple of them that was commended of God, and the Philadelphia church was highly commended, but he told them to hold fast. But my friend, other churches have gotten so slack until they come to the place to where they're lukewarm. Now, in the Laodicean church, or Laodicean city, rather, the church was there. He said they were lukewarm. They had to aqueduct their water because their water there just was not fit to drink. But they aqueducted it down from another town, and it was fresh, cool, and desirable when it left. But by the time it got there to Laodicean city, it had become lukewarm. And that you don't, I don't, and everything. I either want it hot or cold. But there's some things I would rather have hot. It may get a little cool before I get it drank, like a cup of coffee. You can't down it when burn you up. But you like your water cool and refreshing. And that's the way God is. He wants us to give him a praise, refreshing, and have that refreshing of the Holy Ghost to being in our life to give him honor and praise and exalt and lift him up. But some of the churches have come so short of that. All they do is have a happy clappy thing, and they've got canned music. They sing 7-Eleven. They sang it 11 times and 7 verses and 11 times and so on and so forth. My friend, it comes to the time that you need to worship God in spirit and in truth. In order to please God, it's got to be that way, because any other way, he's not going to accept. That's the reason he had John to write to the 7 churches and warn them about these things. He even told them about when his precious herb there was, the prophet was murdered between there, the altar and the porch there. They murdered him because they didn't like what he preached. Well, I've been disillusioned or dismissed from some radio stations around and about because I stand on the promise of God. I preach it. Inward dwelling of the Spirit of God, being filled with the Holy Ghost, and looking unto him to be the author and the finisher of our faith. You can't make it no other way, my friend. This here doctrine that goes around that came out from the Roman teachings and doctrines and in the dark ages between the New and the Old Testament, there was only one thing that was any kind of a religion was going on, and that was a Roman Catholic doctrine. And a lot of people has fell for that kind of stuff. They're all over the world. But I'm telling you, my friend, the Bible says to come out from among the world and be ye therefore separated, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. There's many people today don't even believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. They go and baptize in the title, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, but they don't call his name. My friend, that is a lot of the doctrine, the churches that carries himself are there, and their doctrine is that, and they preach that, and they go by that. But the only true gospel is the apostle teachings and doctrine that which Jesus taught them, and they taught the churches in the early church. It was baptized in Jesus' name. Even to Paul, after he was converted on the road to Damascus, when he came to the place there that he met up with some of John the Baptist's apostles there, 12 of them to be in fact, and he asked them, had they received the Holy Ghost since they believed? And he said, we didn't even know there was such a thing as the Holy Ghost. And he said, into what baptism was you baptized? And he said, unto John's baptism. John merely baptized them unto repentance. But John also said, there is one that come after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And when it come to the place there, when Paul asked him about it, and he told him, and they received the Holy Ghost and the evidence of speaking in tongues, and they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, there's only one way to make it, and that's the way God had set in order. And the road to Damascus and everything, Paul found out it was a wrong attitude he had when he converted there, and when he was seeing Jesus in that great light. He knew there was something about him that wasn't right, and he repented. And he wasn't. He was persecuting the church of God. He went around persecuting the people that called upon the name of the Lord. There's many of them that do that today. I've been said, go into church, and they ask me about my faith and everything, and I say, well, I was baptized in Jesus' name. I believe that's the true doctrine. And they say, oh, you one of them Jesus only. No, I'm not Jesus only. I'm Jesus everything as far as the gospel is concerned. Whatever the Lord says, I believe it's correct. Now, they can do what they want to. I'm not their judge, but when they stand before the Almighty God to be judged from the things that they've done in the body, they may come up short. But he told one church there that hold fast, unless they blot their name out of the church, out of the book of life. My friend, I don't want yours, I don't want mine to be blotted out of the book of life. So that's why I encourage you to read your Bible, find out what the Bible says about the things that are important to you and in your life and your lifestyle. Come out from among the world. Leave off this here fancy doctrine that some of these churches have come up with. It all come out of Catholicism. These here having all kinds of images and statues and things of that nature. It's against God's principles, my friend. It's against his teachings of the apostle teachings and doctrines. He said, make no images of anything in heaven or on earth or in the sea. But there are places that got full of them, saints and whatever. But my friend, it's come to the time to where we're going to have to come to separate from the world and cleave unto the truth of God's word and the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the only name that you can call upon whereby you can be saved. The Pope can't save you. I can't save you. The government can't save you. No other name but at the name of Jesus. That's the only name that God gave that it would whereby we could be saved by. And you can call upon Houdini or whatever, or whoever you call upon. If his name is not Jesus and he ain't the true God, your religion is in vain. Jesus died on the cross. He died for yours and my sins. That give him the right to bring forth salvation unto thee. That name is all that it needs to declare unto all people, that his name is the only name given. It was given to Mary by the Spirit of God, that holy thing that was conceived would bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sin.
Amen.
And he was not born on the 25th day of December. Amen. That's a bunch of junk. And we don't color eggs. I heard a fellow say that the first church colored eggs. Well, that old Catholicism church may have done it early back then days. They had a lot of false teachings and doctrine. But the church of the living God has dead. When Jesus rose, didn't tell Mary to go to the 7-Eleven or in a store and get a bunch of eggs and some rabbits and carry over there and celebrate his resurrection. He went, told her to go to the apostles and tell them that he would meet them there. And they showed up there and they seen him, touched him and had him. And he even eat bread and fish with them. But my friend, has come a time to when we all are going to face up to the reality of God's word. We're going to come to the place that we stand before him and give an account for the deeds in this life. But if you repented from your sins past and you got your sins under the blood and you got the name of Jesus and you praising him and there worshiping him in spirit and truth, well, you're going to be able to meet him with gladness, with faith, and be glad to see him. But them that know him not, it's going to be a terrible time for them. Death, hell, and the grave is going to be dragged up, my friend. And all of them that have died in hell, if you want to put it that way, it's going to be brought up. And their name is not on the Lamb's Book of Life, which I wouldn't think it would be if it were being cast into hell anyway, but nevertheless, the second death is going to be when their devil and all them will be cast into all the false prophets and teachings and everything, and them that believe a lie and teach a lie and live a lie, it'll be cast again into the lake of fire, which will burn forever. It ain't no, I heard one preacher said, well, if those you in the fire, you burn, be burned up, and that's the end of it. No, my friend, the soul never dies, but it will be tormented throughout the ages, eternally. I heard a person say, and you may have heard me say it before, that someone said that eternity was kind of like a little sparrow. Each time he circled the globe of the earth, brushed one grain of sand away with the tip of his wing, when he brushed it all away, eternity would be just begun. So my friend, the only hope that we got, you and I, and anyone else could have it in Christ Jesus. He gave us hope there at Calvary. Because before that came, there was a division between a partition, you might say, or a wall. And Jesus tore it down between the Jew and the Gentile. The Jews was his chosen people, and they were to spread his word. But they failed miserably. And because of their disobedience and everything, they got into trouble. But that's the same way it's going to be with you and I. Disobedience will get us in trouble. And trouble we got enough of going around the world without having God to chastise us. And believe me, you don't want to do that because it's something other that I went through one time. And I was so glad when the Lord gave me that peace of mind to know that my sins was beneath the blood. And I went and slept like a baby. I don't have any problem. I got no fear no more. But I did then. But thank God for the removing of the fear that when if I laid down and died or didn't get up, woke up, if I passed away, I knew in my own self that hell would be my destination. I don't have no fear of that now, my friend. And I pray that you don't either. But the thing of it is, we're going to have to be obedient to the word of God. These seven churches that John wrote to, they all had a problem. There was a couple of them that God commended very carefully, and he told them to hold fast. My friend, but the Laodicea and the church at Ephesus was the one that comparisoned one to the other. The Laodicean church is the falling away. We've come to the place to where they're lukewarm. He would rather they be hot or cold. And we're living in the church world today that they've got a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And there's many of them. They'll get up there and carry on and and say they're this and say they're that. Well, I could tell you that I fly an airplane, but I don't know a thing about flying an airplane. If I told you that, I'd be telling you a lie. So I ain't going to tell you I can fly an airplane, because I can't. But I do know my God is able to secure us by his name and in the blood of Jesus from our sins and give us victory, that we can accept the time when he comes and he says, welcome in. My friend, it's going to be a rejoicing time for them that makes it, but it's going to be terrible for them that's been left behind. I believe that the only way that them that don't make the catching away of the bride of Christ, that the only way that they'll be able to get into the kingdom is they'll have to forfeit their life for his name's sake. Not deny him, not try to save their life by some kind of off-the-wall thing. And he said that he would, when they called you up, and that'll be time to give an answer to what you believe, and you go along with a lot of stuff, carnality, you're going to lose your head and lose your whole soul. But if you just stand there and they ask you to deny the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, are we going to cut your head off? My friend, don't deny the Lord. Go ahead and accept the death penalty and die in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. You're going to be okay. But that's about the only way that them be left behind after the catching away of the bride of Christ. Maybe the only way you can make it. So be faithful. Repent. Calling upon the name of the Lord and serve him now. And don't be like the church of there in these things in Ephesus and the Laodicea. In Ephesus, they fell away from their love. They left their love because they went back into idolatry and following after the Nicolaitan doctrine, which was a type of religion. But they used that for a cloak to do what they wanted to. They would do all kinds of things, sin and adultery and one thing or another, fornication and all these things they done. But my friend, these things is not going to be pleasing to God. They're going to come a time when we're going to have to give an answer. He said, come out from among the world. These things is of the world. It's celebrating these holidays of this and that and one thing the way people does. You can remember the soldiers and the women and the men that died for the in these wars to protect this nation. They've got the word that few people, if any, anymore, few people does, honor them for it. But it's not in the fact that you got to give some of these people that ask for your money to honor this and honor that and honor that. You can pray and thank God that they were willing to sacrifice their lives to preserve yours. When you wasn't able to go yourself or was too young to go. I know they were in World War II. I had a brother that went to it and many friends. But I was too young to go and I didn't get to go. But my friend, it's come to the time that we're in that we're going to have to stand in the army of God and be a soldier of faith in Jesus Christ, standing for him and lifting up his holy name and giving praise to him, teaching and preaching his word and bringing forth there. And hopefully that it will touch the lives of many that may hear and they would call upon the name of the Lord and give him praise. Not me, not the man that's speaking, but like some people do. If my preacher don't preach, I ain't going. My friend, he's got the wrong attitude because some preachers can preach a message that he may not preach. He may not be led to. Not that I say that he couldn't, but he may be led to preach one thing. The apostles preached in there. Some of them was preached a little different, but they all stood on the same principles of God's teachings and doctrines, the apostle teachings and doctrines. They stood in the name of Jesus. They didn't go jumping from pillar to post and this gospel and that and this and that way, one way, and saying, well, any old thing will do. Well, there's a lot of things that Paul mentioned about the church there and everything, the way we should live, that he said, and some people, then he goes as far as said, shall we continue in our sins that the grace of God may abound? The grace of God is sufficient for all things, but you don't use it for a cloak to make your sins and everything. You were saved by grace, by faith, through the precious blood of Jesus. And that's the way it is. It separates you, and you begin a new walk, a new life, a new attitude. Everything becomes new. And when you fall away from that and you get to holding to everything and anything that goes, and you're going to do this and do that regardless of what you know is wrong, and you do it anyway, you stand in jeopardy, my friend. It may come to when you stand before the Lord, he may blot your name out or say, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. So I know that some people holds to once saved, always saved. Well, I say this, if you stay saved, then you'll be saved. If you don't, then you're going to be lost. But my friends, it's come to the place that we're in that we need to understand. The church age that we're living in, that's been down, degraded all the way down through the years, except he had commented on two churches. Philadelphia was the one that he commented the most and the strongest. But I want you to know that the Laodicean church is so lukewarm until, oh my Lord, it's just pitiful the way that the churches and denominations have gotten to where this day and time they go and anything goes. A lot of the women, the pastors' wives get up there on the platform and with their men's clothing on, they say, well, it was made for women. Well, that don't make no difference. It favors a man's clothing. And they cut their hair off like a man, and a man let his grow long. All these things the Bible is against, my friend. God rebuked them for doing it. So why would we continue to do these things that the grace of God may abound? God forbid. Paul made mention of that. But a lot of people are doing it. I hope that God will somehow or another forgive them. But they got to answer to him, not me. Just as you and I are going to have to answer to him, not to us or one another. But we're going to have to stand for the Lord unless we come short of the glory of God. If we come short of the glory of God, we're not going to make it, my friend. But when that trumpet sounds and the archangel's voice goes forth and he gathers his bride home and catches them away, dead in this grave, they're going to come out victoriously over death, hell, and the grave. And when them that remain to be alive to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, from mortal to immortality, out of the grave, from corruption to incorruption, they'll have that new body, the same type of body that Jesus had when he come out of the tomb, a glorified body. Oh, my friends, it's come to the time you need to study your word of God. Find out what he has. Pray and seek him. Let him guide and teach you that what you need to know. He will, but you got to ask him. You got to faithfully be with him and allow him to talk to you. He'll talk to you by many different ways. There's no special way that he's going, but it may come as one of the prophets hiding from Jezebel went and hid himself in a cave. He heard the wind of breaking the rocks and the fire and all these things. He heard all these calamities and these noises and everything, but God wasn't in it. When he heard the voice of God, it was a small, still voice said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Well, he went on to say, well, I was hiding. But he finally got to the place to where he needed to be. Come out of the cave. Lord, we need to come out of the cave. Come out of the darkness into the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Repent of our sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Leaving off all these here so-called church doctrines and things, but believe what the apostles taught and the only truth in God's word, Jesus Christ and him crucified. We were a people, the Gentile race was a people that was not a people. We was considered not a people by God. We were under a curse without any hope until Jesus came and died for us down on Calvary's cross. Gave us hope. My hope is in him, not in the things of the world or in the government and everything. We pay taxes for this and we pay taxes for that, but it's something other that's more or less forced on you there. But it's to take care of things, and they do a poor job on taking care of our streets and the things that needs to be done. because they want all the gusto they can get for themselves, and that's about it. When they give a man a position in the Senate and everything for a lifetime job, and he does little to nothing, two or three weeks out of the year, he's there, and the rest of the time he's drawing his big pay and everything. He don't care about you, but we need to put a stop to it. But one day, God's going to put an end to all of that human things and everything and put in his rules and regulations, you might say. Put up his guidelines. The church of the living God is going to be. God is going to be the one that's going to have to answer to. He's going to be the one that's going to bring forth liberty for them that believe in him and have them there in the kingdom. And the only way we can get there, my friend, is repent. You can't get into the church of the living God by joining or signing your name or claiming. You got to repent. Be godly sorrow. With a broken spirit and a contrite heart, you got to call upon the name of the Lord. Not just raise your hand and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, and you're walking all down the road, but they'll tame you on the way to glory. Well, I kind of got a problem with that, but that's me. But if they can, they can go by that if they want to. But the thing of it is, we're going to have to endure to the end. The same shall be saved. And I believe that that's the way it's going to be, biblically and every way. And spiritually, I feel like we got to endure. As long as we got breath in this old body, in this life, we got to uphold the name of Jesus and give praise and honor to him. Not to some football star or not to some high up preacher and everything. Heard just not too long ago where one or several have died because they wouldn't take the shot. They fought against it. Well, they didn't take the shot, so they're dead now. One thing had to do with the other. I'm not know, but they fought against taking the shot, taught against it and everything, but they got the virus and they're gone. But some people is that way. But I pray that you won't be that naive enough. And just because that some don't want to take it, my friend, it's God has provided the way for you to have some immunity to that. Just like he did when Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage, when the fiery serpent came amongst them there and was biting them and they were dying because they were disobedient. That's what it was. But when Moses prayed to the Lord and God told him to make a brazen serpent and put it on a pole and lift it up, and them that looked on it would live, and them that didn't look on it, they died. So it sounds foolish. They were being bit by a serpent and you're going to look on it. It sounds foolish to the carnal mind, but spiritually that was the way God had of put the antidote there to heal them from the bite. So God made it possible that he could get the virus under control by taking the shot. Many people still won't take it, and they're still spreading it around. But my friend, today there's only one true gospel, and that's that which Jesus come into this world to bring to you and I. And he paid the price for yours and my sin. You can't depend upon the denominational and their teachings and all that thing. Go by what the Word of God says and be born again into the true church of the living God, which he purchased with his own blood. That was yours and my soul. He paid for it. We belong to him. Belong to him, but you can deny him and be lost. You can hold fast to him and have the place in the kingdom of God. So it's up to you. It's up to me. It's your choice because he made us that way. He made us that way from the very beginning. He gave Adam and Eve a choice. He put the thing there in the midst of the garden was the tree of life. Also was the tree of wrong and right, knowledge of good and evil. So they partook when Eve was tempted there and by Satan to partake of it, and she gave to Adam. It put us all in trouble, my friend, and it's been that way ever since. And the only hope that we have is in Christ Jesus. The first Adam come was made out of the dust of the earth. But the second Adam, which was Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit. He came to die for yours and my sin. The church that you may go to, the name of it, whatever it might be, is not going to help you if you don't belong to Jesus. If you don't belong to the church of the living God, which he purchased with his own blood, and that was Jesus died for your sins. The church that we're in, that he is head of, not some man that they call the pastor, which is nothing wrong with that if he teaches the truth. But if he don't teach the truth, be like me. Find you a place to where it is. And if you don't, you'd be better off to stay at home and study your word and pray and seek God without having been tied up with a whole lot of this other stuff that is half truth and half wrong. Because halfway of anything ain't going to get you the whole. Halfway it into God will not get you into the kingdom. Being totally persuaded in God, in Jesus' name, accepting him and the sacrifice that he made there at Calvary, accepting him as to being the Lord of your life. That's the only way that I know of, the Bible speaks about, that you and I will be able to enter into the kingdom. The Laodicean church is lukewarm. The church at Ephesus, they failed to stay faithful. They left their first love. The first love we had was Jesus Christ so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. He brought forth hope unto the Gentile nations. And the way that Peter knew that Cornelius and his household had received the Holy Ghost the same as they heard him speaking in tongues. But you find that a lot of these denominations, I ain't gonna have none of that speaking in tongues around me. They don't believe in it. Well, some of people have done it improper and out of order, and I don't agree with that. But when it's done decently in order, God's in it, it's gonna benefit the church and the person. But now, if it's out of order, just like anything else, you get out there running the stop signs and red lights and everything, you're gonna pay the consequences. And if you don't obey God's rules and regulations, you're going to pay the consequences. If you don't repent of your sins and let God cleanse you, you're going to pay the consequences. That consequences, my friend, is to lose your soul and be cast into hell. You go down the road running your stop signs and red lights and speeding, the policeman catch you and you're going to pay a fine. But then you go on your way. But when you come to that judgment seat of God and he says, depart from me, you ain't going to go but one way, and that's into the pits of darkness, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But if you've been faithful to him and he says, enter in, you got it all right. Everything's going to be fine. I pray that God will lead you in the way that he would have you to go, looking unto him to be the author and the finisher of your faith. And again, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for acknowledging us there on the internet there, that you heard the broadcast, and I hope it encouraged you to lift up the name of Jesus and you be lifted up by the Spirit of God and give him praise and honor. I appreciate it. I really do. I love God's people. I love my Lord, and I pray that the message that we put out will touch the hearts and the lives of people in a way that they will realize that they need God in their life. And if he's in their life, then they will give him praise and glory. And them that realize they need God in their life would honor him, praise him, and worship him, and repent, and turn the life over to him, and let him be the Lord of their life. My friend, it's come to the time that we're in, that we're living in the last church age, and that's the Laodicean. You don't want to be lukewarm. You want to be cold or hot. Cold water is refreshing when you had a hot day and everything. And sometime in the wintertime, when it's cold, the body gets cold, you can take something that's warm, coffee or chocolate or something that's good and warm. It seems to warm the body. But my friend, I've drank coffee before when it was hot, and I'd be hot, and it seems to have a cooling effect to you. But my friend, it's come to the place to where Jesus said to the last church, when John wrote to the Laodicean, I'd rather you be hot or cold, because that you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. Well, have you ever taken some water that was lukewarm, was looking for a refreshment? You needed a cool drink of water because you was hot and thirsty, and you take the water and it was lukewarm, almost make you sick. Well, that's what God says. I will spew you out of my mouth. Would gurgitate it, in other words. It ain't fitting to drink. It's not going to be pleasant. And he'll spew you out of the mouth. You don't want to be like that. You want to be either cold or hot. Cold is refreshing. Praising God and worshiping him in spirit and truth. Be on fire for God. My friend, is what God wants us to be. Praising him and worshiping him. As the prophet there, Psalms, David penned there, he said, I would that men everywhere would just praise the Lord. I can concur with that. I would that men everywhere would just praise the Lord. They don't, but that don't keep me from wanting them to. And God would love to have them to. And he don't like this here bit of lukewarm business and everything. Be on fire for God. Get a praise and being refreshing in the place of worship. Giving a praise to God. Refresh. That's the way the cool drink of water would be. And that God looks for that, my friend.
That's right.
He looks for to worship him in spirit and in truth. Be a way that you can refresh him by bringing forth something other, that your light would shine out, that they would see Christ in your life, not see the old man walking around and strutting his thing and think he's something other when he ain't nothing to start with. They want to see the fruits of the Spirit. They want to see God in your life, and that's refreshing to them. It gives them a hope that if he can, I can. If she can, I can. But if they see this strutting around and high and mighty look and thinking they're something that they're not and everything, I've seen them. I don't want to be like that. I drove a truck for the biggest part of my adult life, and a lot of people look down the nose at the truck driver, but my friend, let me tell you something. If it wasn't for them spending hours out there on the road from their family, making a living, an honest living, and bringing the product from one place to another, you'd be without. So don't sneeze at your truck driver. Give him some respect.
Right.
I don't say worship him, but give him some respect. And know that he is supplying the things that you need. And the only way they get there, they don't drop them out of an airplane. They may have brought them from some other country here on a boat or airplane, but they're distributed from city to city. It comes in a truck, and there's got to be a driver. Or they come up with, they're going to have these driverless trucks. And my friend, I don't know if I want to see that time come. They got them. But when it comes to putting something like that there, and with the way these technology is, and these people get these computers, and they go in and hack into some of that stuff, and it will happen, no doubt. And they'll get a bunch of them trucks, gas, and dynamite, and everything, and converge in one place, and all come together, and there'll be a mess that you ain't never seen before. And that's what I'm afraid of. Man will destroy his own self rather than worship God in spirit and truth. So pray for us as we pray one for another. Write to us if you will. And we will ask us for a prayer request. We will pray with you and pray for you. May God bless you and keep you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you until next time. Take time for Jesus and listen to the word of God to them that would preach it.
Read
your Bibles. And therefore, we know that the time is at hand. It's time to seek the Lord. Amen and amen.
Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
Take a little time in the morning, and you'll feel better all day. Take a little time for Jesus to get down on your knees and pray. He took the time to die on the cross, so all of our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Sometimes you may be in a hurry. You have so many things to do. But don't forget about Jesus. Remember, He didn't forget about you. He took the time to die on the cross, so all of our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
We would like to thank you for joining us today on Take Time for Jesus. Email the show at ecompton31@yahoo.com. If you'd like to check out past shows of Take Time for Jesus, go to our website, taketimeforjesus.com. We look forward to joining you again on our next show as we Take Time for Jesus.